And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Trying to sort out the complex nature of nature is such a challenge. We hear so many perspectives from scientists and researchers, environmentalists and politicals, writers, talking heads, and all the rest. Do you ever wish you could just rise above the fray and kind of get an overview, a broader picture, widen your horizon, and then make your choices? Well, that is precisely what is happening through the work of one of the world's most visionary friends. When we return, we soar upward and onward on the wings of the Light Hawk into a greater tomorrow here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
United we stand, divided we are. With less than 6 weeks until the U.S. elections and the polls flip-flopping like a fish in a rowboat, we somehow managed to carry on. Thank God presidential elections come but once every 4 years. With the future of the planet begging for reasonable consideration, we look boldly backwards 30 years to Vietnam for guidance. And now, the media itself becomes its own story, and truth becomes the new enemy. Well, through it all, the Wildside News keeps looking boldly forward and continues to hold the course towards a stable society and a sustainable Earth. You know, we are confronted with myriads of decisions each day. They range from simple, like how much toothpaste to put on our toothbrush, to the commonplace, like, is it time to go to lunch now or should I wait? To the complex, like, I wonder if I should commit to helping register voters this election. To the critical, like, is it time to realize that our planet is in trouble? These choices never stop. They never will. But here's a little advice I learned from being an artist. If you want to learn how to paint, begin painting. If you do, and you practice, you get better. Within a month, you'll see improvement. Within a year, you'll be a better painter. In 3 years, you'll be better. And in 10 years, you may never become a master, but you will just keep getting better. The lesson? Begin. If we want to make this world better, we have to begin. In 5 years from now, it will be better. In 10 years, it will be better. We may never create a utopian master planet, but we will make it better. Today, we explore what happens when someone begins. Today, we focus on Light Hawk. It's a story of beginnings and the unknowable changes that can come from that launch. Light Hawk is an emerging success story, one that is quietly, efficiently taking giant leaps forward in the creation of a better world. Today, you're going to hear from pilots who volunteer to fly their private planes above key areas of our Earth, carrying people who must make decisions about the realms below. So, fasten your seatbelts as we prepare to bring you along into the wild blue wonder. It will change your vision, as it has changed so many. But first, the news. Speaking of soaring, oil prices continue their climb to a six-month high as spot prices reached $47 a barrel. This is a 40% increase this year alone. Now, a 40% increase is something to behold in a global economy already unsettled by the uncertainty and chaos of war in the Middle East. The factors driving the prices up could keep Alan Greenspan murmuring for days. But in a word, it is fear. Choices. Beginnings. It's the matrix of tomorrow. The United States has just added a 58th park to its national park system. Colorado now boasts of having 4 national parks with the addition of the Great Sand Dunes National Park. Nestled in the cradle of the vast San Luis Valley, 160 miles southwest of Denver, the park now preserves 149,000 acres, including the tallest sand dunes in North America, and a spectacular mix of wildlife, including elk, mountain lions, bighorn sheep, and a healthy migratory bird population. The park is the result of a 10-year effort led by a unique coalition of local citizens, ranchers, environmentalists, and conservation groups. With the assistance of the Nature Conservancy, working with the federal government, another grand success is enshrined forever. Choices, beginnings, dreams, and reality. It's a new paradigm. A wildlife group warned Tuesday that overfishing may wipe out stocks of tuna fish in the Mediterranean. The Worldwide Fund for Nature said that the massive numbers of young tuna caught for fish farms and direct export to Asia may drive the Mediterranean tuna to extinction. An international team of biologists released a report last week confirming a warning that when endangered species go extinct, they take down other dependent species with them. As a result, concerns are being voiced that the number of endangered species may be 50% higher than predicted. In the journal Science, researchers stated that with the extinction of a bird or a mammal or a plant, you aren't necessarily wiping out just one single species. We are also allowing all these unsung dependent species to be wiped out as well. Nature is filled with stories of unique relationships between species and plants and animals. Many of these have co-evolved over millions of years. The term co-extinction may become an uncomfortable new term as we face the challenges of the struggle of species diversity. And following a series of tributes to the American Wilderness System, advocates, champions, friends, and others are finishing up Wilderness Week in the nation's capital. As part of the celebration, the 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, a number of bills were introduced this week to preserve the network of protected areas destined to be tributes to the human will, to begin and to continue. And that's the news. And now a few announcements. The Wildside News is beginning a campaign to identify friends, partners, sponsors, and underwriters, people just like you. We are quickly becoming the Voice of the Earth radio network. Join us. It's simple, and it's free. Click on the Become a Friend link on the homepage and begin. Make a choice. For information, visit the Wildside News website at www.wildsidenews.com and click on the Become a Friend link. And check out the Wildside News website. You can be proud to be part of the Voice of the Earth network. Next week, we have a very special show featuring the Scripps Institution of Oceanography. Oceans are in the news, and next week we give you an in-depth look at the state of the oceans and a special exploration of their collections and the role they play in making wise choices. We need them now more than ever. Already today, we've talked about Wilderness System at 40, the National Park System. These gifts to us began with a few good ideas, some well-wrought words, and a commitment. No one could really know just what significance these beginnings would have. We must never take them for granted. Well, today's focus began with a good idea 25 years ago, and it is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most elegant allies for survival available. And that's why today we focus our attention to the story of Lighthawk. I want to welcome the president of the board and a longtime volunteer pilot of Lighthawk, Rick Durden, who is joining us from Michigan. Rick, is it a great day for flying in Michigan today?
It is indeed. I just wish I weren't sitting in an office.
Well, I'm sure a time will come soon when you'll be out and flying again.
I think so.
I wish I was a pilot. I'm going to check out the opportunity to get up with you folks and really take a perspective. Let's talk about what Lighthawk does. What is it that Lighthawk is involved with?
Lighthawk partners with other researchers, activists, NGOs, to make use of the tool of the airplane to support environmental work. We can do a great deal in a very short time to assist work that other organizations are doing.
It is this aerial perspective, and we're going to talk about this all for the entire show and cover lots of aspects of this because there is something so powerful and efficient about this perspective. Let's now you've been at this for about 25 years.
Just about. I've not been with Lighthawk quite that long. I joined as a volunteer pilot in the late 80s.
Now, go ahead.
And I'd been interested prior to that, read about them in Smithsonian Magazine, and made a phone call and joined.
So what was it that brought you to this point where you decided that you wanted to get involved with Lighthawk?
as a pilot, you get a chance to see a lot of things that you can't see from the ground. And I started seeing what I felt to be abuse of our land on a regular basis, and even starting as a teenager when I flew back to my home city in Iowa on a beautiful clear day, and as I got near, there was a dome of brown scutch over the city, and that struck me left a lasting impression, and I looked for a way to start taking action, and then I found Lighthawk.
Now, Lighthawk actually is an alliance of volunteer pilots. You're one of those people. Talk about those volunteer pilots.
Well, it's a group that's comes from all walks of life. We've got everything from airline pilots through former crop dusters to people who fly purely for recreation. They are required to have a significant amount of flying time to fly for Lighthawk. Have to have 1,000 hours as a pilot. And they share an abiding love for our planet and protecting it, and get together to use their time and their skills to do what they can.
One of the amazing aspects of this is the fact that you guys do this for free.
That's correct. We pay for our airplanes and our time, so it's all volunteer.
Now, Lighthawk has been involved in, we'll talk actually in the segments to come about a lot of things that are happening across America, but you're also working internationally. And you, in particular, are someone who's had the great opportunity to head down into the Central American zones and take a look from the air at some of the issues there, and you've got some great stories.
Well, I've been very lucky in that about half of Lighthawk's work is in Central America, and I've been a volunteer in Belize on a regular basis for over 10 years now, and have worked with a number of projects on fisheries, illegal logging, a UN program on coastal wetlands. I guess we work at the national level and very much the local level. After one of the hurricanes a few years ago, we flew local village elders over the area of the downed trees to let them see the extent of the damage and go back and encourage the farmers in the area not to burn their fields that year, as the risk of a major conflagration was very great.
And was that a successful mission?
It seemed to be. They didn't have any major forest fires. And so you'd like to say that there was some sort of a cause and effect relationship.
One of the great things about Lighthawk is the fact that you do real science from the air, and it makes it possible to accomplish things that otherwise may have taken years to accomplish. You shared with me a story about alligators in Belize. I think that's so interesting.
And that was to me as well. The Zoo Atlanta and the Bronx Zoo have a cooperative program in Belize working on crocodile research in Cox Lagoon. They've been there for years. I flew their two primary scientists over the area, and when they landed, they were jumping up and down. They were so excited because they saw ponds in the area. This is rainforest and jungle that they hadn't even known existed. They went in and came back to where I was about midnight that night, grabbed themselves each a beer, and told me all about the ponds that they had seen from the air that they went to on the ground and found them teeming with crocodiles, which expanded the entire scope of their research.
Of course, these were gentlemen who had been researching this for years and
they've been there for at least 10 years.
10 years worth of research and hadn't discovered this, and in a matter of one flight, they suddenly discovered something they didn't know about. You also have the perspective of being able to see grand pictures and changes, and talking about Belize, you talk about the fact that the water off the coast of Belize is extremely clear, and there's opportunities to do species population studies that otherwise would take years of work.
And that's absolutely correct. One of the fascinating things is that Belize has it's the longest reef in this hemisphere, and they haven't killed it yet. They've kept their rivers clean, so the water going into the ocean is clean. And as a result, when you're overflying, you can photograph down into the water in excess of 100 feet. So we've been able to assist research that's being done in that area on the reef for fisheries and associated sorts of work.
Now, of course, as this kind of body of knowledge begins to expand, in other words, as more and more people realize the power of these low altitude, as opposed to 40,000, 30,000 that you'd find from a jet, the addition to our body of knowledge is extraordinary. I'm going to push right along because time goes so quickly. But one of the most interesting things that you also do is really try to bring people together. who otherwise traditionally may have some sort of conflict. And you talked about a journey along a border between Guatemala and Belize.
That was one of the most interesting things I ever did. Lighthawk put on an environmental conference in Belize some years ago, and we got the Minister of the Environment from Belize and the Minister of the Environment for the Batan region of Guatemala together. And those two countries have kind of a prickly relationship at best, and we flew them together in the same airplane with an intercom where they could speak to each other along the entire Belizean-Guatemalan border, and they then spent 2 days in a hotel where they were in rooms next to each other, came out of the experience as good friends, and also started, by the time they'd left, they had agreed to work on joint projects on the pine bark beetle problem that was going from Belize into Guatemala, and the problem with Guatemalans crossing into Belize to slash and burn the rainforest, which the Belizeans have protected thus far.
Terrific story of coming together. I like to think of it as appropriate globalization in a proper scale.
I would agree with that. It was very interesting to watch the two individuals because they were kind of wary of each other, and as they flew and talked, they realized that they hold very similar positions in their governments and have precisely the same problems. And all of a sudden, these folks from different countries realized that their closest allies were each other.
Rick, from your perspective, what are some of the things that you notice most after 25 years of flying? We've got about 20 seconds left.
A major one is urban sprawl. The big difference is in just the loss of land to sprawl.
Well, you know what? We're going to talk a lot more about that. I want to thank Rick Durden. I wish we had a lot more time. Volunteer pilot and president of the board of Lighthawk. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks very much, Sidney.
You bet. When I return, we head west to San Francisco as we continue the story of Lighthawk here on the Wild Side News.